The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking First Cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and we are DFSing our way into the John Deere Classic. Sia Najad is here. Sia, welcome.
You know, I don't know what all the buzz is about. Like, this field is weak. Like, yeah, that's true. But there are names, and there are prices next to the names. LFG.
There will be a winner, there will be an optimal lineup, and there will be money given out by DFS sites, no matter if it was Webb Simpson and Sahith Tagala or Rick Gaiman and Greg Ducharme, who rounds out our group for today. Hello, Greg.
Hello, boys. I'm fired up for this. It's not going to be very long before we talk about my boy. His name will come up very shortly. It might be the first name that we bring up. So, I mean, what could be better?
It's going to be a record time that we get to Adam Adman on this show. But before we do, a couple of housekeeping items. The one and done selection link, it's now available. It's in the description. Get your votes in. We need your vote by Tuesday morning. I think it's Tuesday 1 p.m. So that's morning for me, not morning for everybody. But that is when we will do the mega preview pod and we will unveil the fan selection. And oh, by the way, the fans are making up ground. They're now in second. Sia, we never should have let this happen.
We never should have let this happen. I do want to offer, Rick, I've apologized to you for mushing you before. Anybody who had Patrick Cantlay to win outright or top 10, I apologize. I had him in the one and done, and this is what happens. Doesn't necessarily happen on Thursday and Friday. Sometimes it happens Sunday with an epic collapse of 9 bogeys plus 1 double bogey. Triple, actually more than triple the amount he had days 1, 2, and 3 combined. That's my bad.
Five birdies though, Sia.
I mean, it's.
Did he make five birdies?
Yeah, five birdies, 76.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry. I was thinking pars. He only had three pars, right?
Yeah. He had more birdies than pars and shot 76.
And he laid the sod over one like I do.
It just barely carried the water. I think he had the wrong front edge in mind.
That really is amazing. That was amazing. I don't. I heard you guys break it down on the First Cut pod recap, and it was great, by the way, and the Sahith Tagala sort of mental impressions and permutations you all went through with Mark Immelman, all of that, and Kyle was so great for anybody who hasn't heard that already.
It's almost impossible to, with a 9-iron, even for myself, miss by like 60 yards, which is what he did. It's almost impossible. So it was by definition impressive that Cantlay did it.
Yes. Yeah, it's almost like if you tried to pick the worst, like who's going to finish in the worst position.
Right.
That's just as hard as picking, you know, if you on Friday night, okay, who's going to come in last versus who's going to come in first. It's really hard. They're almost equally as hard to pick.
Right.
Just impressive. It was objectively, from what I saw, the worst shot anybody hit in the entire Travelers tournament.
And Scottie Scheffler hit a shank.
I think he hit back-to-back shanks, but yeah.
It was worse than that.
Definitely way worse. Definitely way worse. Yeah.
There were some bizarre shots in that event. Anyway, I digress.
We should do a power ranking of the worst shots, but that's a show for another day. Producer Troy, please share my screen because we need to talk about this golf course. It's my website, rickrungood.com. That will be the visuals and tools that we use. And it's TPC Deer Run. We're headed to Silvis. And we've seen this course quite a bit over the years. And when you start to look at the metrics here, Sia, my model loves driving accuracy. You start to sniff that
compared to guys that have won here. Stricker three times, Zach Johnson, who won it last year? Lucas Glover. It starts to pass the sniff test as well for playing out of the fairway.
Yeah, and this sounds pretty familiar from a couple of the tournaments we've broken down in the last just few weeks. Driving accuracy, certainly important, but to me, not as important. I'm definitely emphasizing approach more than anything. That's just my personal preference here. I'm going to be heavy on approach. I'm going to be heavy on scoring, like whether it's DK points or birdie or opportunities, you know, whatever you're looking at, that's going to be a big point of emphasis for me as well. And honestly, it's interesting because if you look at some of the past winners, including Lucas Glover, Glover's not a good putter, right? And so I'm not saying I wanted your opinions here. I'm not saying I'm discounting, you know, the putting metric, but I'm curious if you all think this tournament lends itself to team no putt.
Well, Greg, I'll tee you up on that because I could go both ways on this. 19 under par was the winning score last year, and that was the worst of the last 3 years. You're generally pretty deep into the 20s. And when we get deep into the 20s, you often hear, oh, it's a putting contest. You're going to have to make a lot of birdies. You're going to have to make a lot of putts, which I kind of go back and forth on whether you need to be a Denny McCarthy or you need to be someone who can get hot with the flat stick.
Well, it's a really interesting thought and I understand where it comes from. So I did a little bit of a breakdown. Who were the guys in the top 10 last year and what did they do? Well, there was only one of them that was in the top 50. Only two of them in the top 10 last year that were in the top 100 entering the week in strokes game putting. I mean, everybody, Lucas Glover is 120th. Ryan Moore is 172nd, 136, 119th, 198th, 108th, 128th. These guys are not entering in good form. Then I looked at past winners and they're all the four out of the last five are outside the top 100. Ryan Moore was 32nd and that was in 2016. So it's definitely, you know, looking at last year's top 10 and the last five winners, you're definitely looking at a team no putt scenario, which I find very interesting.
I imagine the strength of this field is going to be a sizable talking point, especially when we do the mega preview pod and we compare it to Live Golf or, you know, all those conversations are going to be had. But, I'm gonna ask you to cover your eyes when I release the cheat sheet for the first time. It's not the prettiest thing in the world, but we're gonna find you some good plays. We're gonna find you the guys that are gonna outperform the others because someone's gonna hoist a trophy on Sunday. We're gonna jump into that right after these words. Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order, plus free shipping.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
And we're back. Here's the 10K range, and it is very, very small. Webb Simpson, $10,600. Adam Hadwin, $10,400. Sahith Tagala, $10,100. And Jason Day, an even $10,000. Greg, must defer to you in this scenario with your guy as the second most expensive golfer on the slate. These are names that we don't normally see for this expensive. So let's just recalibrate, right? You're going to pay more for guys that you're not used to paying this much for. Let's get over it and start figuring out our plan.
Right. The fortunate thing is you're not actually paying this amount, right? This isn't a team that you're building for an entire year. This is simply a team you're building for 1 week. So it's all relative. It's really important to keep that in mind. It's all relative. Now, Adam Hadwin, of course, I really like for a number of reasons. I wanted to point out one other thing. I like Webb Simpson, too, in this range. But I was looking for a correlation of what does this golf course ask for? And I wanted to get Sia's thoughts on this. I'm sorry I didn't get to this in the last segment. But Michael Kim, who won in 2018, has always been this kind of bizarre case for me. Like, what did he do? What did he show us leading into that win where he set a scoring record? What did he show us that said, okay, he's ready to win? And he was at the time outside the top 100 in everything. So I was looking to see what was he inside the top 100 in. Was there anything? And basically, if you take the buckets, and I'm still in the process of doing this, so this is rough. But if you take the outside of like approach buckets, he's basically, you can count on one hand the amount of stats he's in the top 100 in. And I'm including everything, not strokes gain. I'm including like one of them is left rough tendency. He was 73rd, right?
One of them could be like consecutive holes without a bogey, right? They keep some random. Yeah,
although that was not, right. It includes all the random ones.
Yeah.
The closest thing to a correlation that I found is he seemed to be very good from 50 to 75, from 125 to, from 50 to 75, 50 to 125. He was 18th and 31st, respectively. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's something there. Now you think of a Ryan Moore, you think of a Steve Stricker, you think of a Zach Johnson, some of these guys who have won here and had success here. And are they, is wedge play really the silver lining? Is that the correlation? And I found it interesting that Sia said approach, because strokes gain approach doesn't really correlate if you just look at purely at numbers. But I do think there's a correlation here with guys in some of these short wedge buckets. Lucas Glover was 32nd from 75 to 100. Michael Kim, I already mentioned. Dylan Fratelli was top 100 from 50 to 125. He was 53rd from 100 to 125. Ryan Moore was 10th from 50 to 75. Bryson was 14th from 50 to 75. So in this kind of 50 to 125 range, I think there's a common thread of success. And I'm thinking that might be a popular one. So if we go to this year, we look at 50 to 125. You see Webb Simpson is pretty close to, Webb was from 50 to 75. He's the top. Adam Hadwin is in here as well. And from 50 to 125, Webb Simpson's 32nd on tour and Adam Hadwin is 49th on tour. So I think that it's high quality. It speaks to a solid wedge game. And you look at these guys generally in the more general kind of things that we talk about, Adam Hadwin's been very good on approach this year. We've highlighted that. He's been good around the green. He putted brilliantly at the US Open. So I think there's a lot of reason to like him. And I think Webb Simpson seems to maybe be turning the corner as well.
So of those guys in the 10K range, Simpson 32nd in that 50 to 125, Adam Hadwin 49th, as Greg mentioned, which means in this field, they're probably like 8th and 13th. And there's a big drop off between Sahith and Jason Day, who are 160th and 199th respectively in that stat category. So one specific stat category, Sia, but maybe helps make some decisions when you're kind of looking at this 10K range as a whole.
First of all, I love that you have. So if you're not watching on YouTube, what are you doing? Because I really like what we see on rickrungood.com, because that's a bucket that people aren't used to, right? They're used to seeing, on other sites, potentially, buckets of like 25 yards and then the next 25 yards, 50 to 125. Now, when we have kind of like a quote, bigger bucket, a more global view of sort of like these shorter irons, these wedge shots, I think that actually tells me a little bit more about the player in terms of the shorter irons coming in. And I do think think that's going to be important here. And I also think it's really important that you made the distinction that, yeah, that rank of 32 and 49, and Rick, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's on tour among all PGA Tour players, not in this field, right?
That's, that exactly. That's their season rank this year. So if you, right, you, a weaker field, Webb Simpson is actually going to be actually, and I can, I guess I could just tell you this. So Webb Simpson is 32nd on tour, but he is 11th in this field.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. I think that's a really, Greg, I think that's a really good way to look at this in terms of trying to pull out some guys that maybe other people aren't looking at, because I do think, I mean, I think you'll have some proximities, of course, that are going to be over that range, you know, a decent amount. But at the same time, I think that's something to pull out and maybe, you know, break ties or maybe make your player pool a little bit based on that.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I think 50 to 125 is the ideal bucket here because it's not 25 yards. I know, Rick, you said, well, okay, he's great from 74 yards, but not 76. So how, and I completely agree. I very rarely get into these proximity buckets. But just as I'm looking through, this particular event has perplexed me for years. And I said, okay, I'm tired of this. There has to be something. And this is the closest thing that I've found. So I know that in my pools, I'm going to use this. I'm going to look to it, not as my guiding principle, but as a backup, a secondary type principle.
So I love that. And Sia, you know, I think most people are going to gravitate towards Webb Simpson and Adam Hadwin. Those are the two that we've already talked about. Sahith Tagala coming off of what will likely be described as a disappointing runner-up finish, but he had a fifth place finish at the Memorial. He's still in this 10K range. And then Jason Day, who missed the cut at the Travelers, lurks here as well. Is there a viable option besides Simpson and Hadwin?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I think enough people will be on Sahith Tagala that I won't be interested. I'm going to try to incorporate a little bit more game theory this tournament than perhaps I normally do. So I'll have to monitor his ownership. I don't think I'm interested, though, if he's anywhere close to Webb Simpson and Adam Hadwin. I do concede that Hadwin and Webb Simpson will be very highly owned. I think you can, the way this tournament is set up from a pricing standpoint, I think you can put both of them in your lineup and still come out with a pretty good lineup because of what we see in the 7K range, in particular, the lower 7K range. I don't know that you'll be necessarily different doing that. A lot of people will think of that, but I do like Webb Simpson and Adam Hadwin. I'm out on Jason Day, and I'm likely out on Sahith Tagala.
Only four golfers in that 10K range. Only four golfers in the 9K range. So only eight golfers above $9,000 here, Greg. So we've got Denny McCarthy, Maverick McNeely, CH3, that's Charles Howell III, and Christian Bezuidenhout. That's it for the 9K range. Very small group of golfers to work with here out of the gate.
Yeah, it's very small. And I think this range, again, it might get kind of blocked out, especially if you get a Hadwin and a Simpson in that lineup together up on top. This range, I think it's going to be very easy to fade everybody in the 9K range, and I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Because like, who's the best option in this range? It's probably Charles Howell III.
Yeah.
And part of the reason is that Charles Howell III has a pretty good record here at the John Deere, tied 23rd, tied 6th, tied 19th in his last three. Never missed the cut. He was tied 5th in 2011, whatever that's worth. But there's enough of a track record here where you say, okay, he likes this place. It seems to be a nice fit for him. So he's probably my top. Denny McCarthy, you mentioned the success putting. He's missed the cut here the last couple of years, but seems to be trending in the right direction. Although I do think the Travelers is kind of a setback, and it worries me a little bit. Was the U.S. Open and the Memorial? Is that tell us? Are we starting to see a picture that Denny McCarthy succeeds on more difficult setups and not so much in birdie fests? That could be, you know, what's the other event that he did well in? Who was tied 25th at the Wells Fargo, brutally tough setup. So I have my worries with Denny. I can't believe I'm saying this, Charles Howell is the top option in the 9K range.
I personally worry about all these guys in the $9,000 range. I don't know. I mean, CH3 has three top 15s in his last 42 starts. That goes back to when the tour came back from the COVID shutdown. So I worry about paying $9,300 for a guy who I don't know how much upside he has. I think he has a great floor. I worry about the upside, but like, I don't like any of these guys. I mean, Denny will be the most popular Sia, right?
I think so. I think people will be willing to go back to Denny after what, you know, the miscut last week. I think people think he has upside. I agree he has upside. I mean, the ball striking, it seems to be pretty problematic. But then again, you know, we might be catching Denny McCarthy still on the early run of what he's going to be over the next few years. With that said, it's really just Charles Howell III for me as well. I mean, obviously his course history here is great. The recent form is pretty good. He's gained ball striking 3 out of the last 4. The putter can be a really big problem for him, but he happens to have gained over the last 2. And we know from what we talked about at the top of the show that there are guys like Lucas Glover that have won here who are historically very bad putters. And so I think Team No Putt is in play here.
Yeah, I will say he does not putt it well. He drives it better than I remember him driving it. And you can't really deny the course history. I will probably find myself just skipping this 9K range in general.
He's 77th from 50 to 125 on tour,
which
so that's a reasonable
like 35th in this field.
Yeah, in that neighborhood. There's a lot to count. You got to scroll a little bit. He's the second highest in the 9K range in this field behind Maverick McNealy. And you look at Maverick McNealy, and there's really nothing that you're gonna love about that. It hasn't been great of late.
Yeah.
So I'm with you guys.
Well, the 8K range is much more appealing to me, and I want to talk about that. And then the sevens are interesting. The sixes we'll discuss. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there. And I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do. Like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com. Okay. It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. And we're back. Okay. Now the 8K range, this is where I actually am probably going to find myself. Like there's 3 guys in this range. I might bet like I'm fairly interested here, Sia. So lead us off in the 8Ks.
Yeah. I think this is where a lot of people are going to spend their time. They'll grab somebody up top and then they'll either skip the 9K range or go to the 9K range, but still grab somebody in the 8K range. I wouldn't be surprised if there's 2 or 3 lineups with guys or 2 or 3 players in lineups from the 8K range. So I think Nick Hardy is going to be really popular. Sure. And I get that. And the note on him is if he's going to be really popular, I'm probably just going to end up being out. But then again, I think ownership might be a little flat across the board in the 8K range because there's a lot of guys you can make an argument for. I think Scott Stallings at 8,900, well, that doesn't make a ton of sense at that price. But everybody else, I think, is kind of in play. I think Lucas Glover is going to be pretty popular. I got to wait to see ownership on that because, you know, obviously if he's popular, I might pivot somewhere else. CT Pan really intrigues me. Sometimes he'll be great on approach and terrible off the tee. Sometimes he'll be great off the tee and terrible on approach. But there are times where he marries those together and they're good over four rounds. So I think CT Pan at 8,100 is really good value. And I think he has a lot of upside. He's third on approach his last 36 rounds and he's top 10 tee to green over his last 36 rounds. So I think at 8,100, that's a guy I'm going to be targeting for sure.
All right, let's keep the momentum rolling here in the eights, Greg. What do you find?
So I'm very interested in Brendan Todd. If you believe that driving accuracy is a really important aspect, he's going to be a great option for you. He missed the cut at the Travelers, but he played really well the 2 weeks before that. Third at the Charles Schwab, 13th at the RBC Canadian Open. And Rick, your model said driving accuracy, very important there as well. So Brendan Todd is definitely on my list. He also happens to be third in the field and 16th on tour from 50 to 125. He checks that box. We know he's a great putter. If you believe that putting is very important because it goes, everybody goes low and it's a putting contest. I mean, I haven't seen that in the numbers, but I don't ever look at somebody who's a great putter as a knock, especially if they have a couple of, you don't like to lean just on putting. But if they have something else to back it up, in Brendan Todd's case, driving accuracy and wedge play, I think he becomes a very viable option.
It's also worth noting, Greg, before you jump around there, the last two cuts that Todd missed were on the number. So it's like, he didn't play all that bad.
No. And look, that's a little bit of a concern in an event like this where you can have a cut at 7 under par or something. You could play well and miss the cut in a tournament like this. It's challenging. You don't have a lot of time. You have to get after it right away. But there's pretty much everybody in this field falls into that high risk. This is a tournament with extremely high risk of missing the cut. I don't think anybody is safe here. It applies to Webb and Hadwin. They could miss the cut this week and play pretty well just because scores get so low and you have to get after it right away. So I think Todd is a very interesting factor. And then the other guy, it's really these three guys right in a row, Adam Long, Brendan Todd, and Cam Davis. Yeah. I think I feel stronger about Cam Davis and Brendan Todd. Mm-hmm. So Cam Davis has kind of started to show this thing where he does really well on these shorter golf courses.
Yes.
And I find that.
Let's go.
Yeah, I find it so interesting. It doesn't make sense. You think of him, Rocket Mortgage. We were all over that last year. It's perfect Cam Davis course. And he won. But he's done very well this year in that wedge range, right? He's 35th on tour. He's averaging 17 feet, 7 inches from 50 to 125. So he checks that box as well. And I liked his performance last week, although the weekend was terrible.
Let's talk about that. I got to queue up here because the first two rounds, second best score in the field, gained 8 strokes over the first two rounds last week. Right. Rounds 3 and 4 on the weekend, he had the third worst score. He lost 8.5 strokes to the field. Now, almost all of it came in the short game categories and most of it with the putter. I actually think this is a good thing, Greg, right? Like if you show me for 2 or 3 rounds or whatever that you can be the best guy in the field or close to it, I think that's exciting. It's upside. And you look at what he did. He had his worst short game week ever. Like it's just, this is the 2 rounds where he coughs up 8.5 strokes to the field is so unlikely to happen again.
I agree. So I look at it in general, like, hey, this is good form. And the hope is, well, tied 56th at the Travelers, tied 53rd at the Memorial. It doesn't look great. So hopefully that keeps ownership down. Yeah. But you start to look a little deeper at this as we are now. This is the advantage of First Cut podcast listeners. You get this deep look into a player like this, and all of a sudden there's a lot more good going on than it looks if you quickly look at his recent form. So I'm way in on Cam Davis. Cam Davis and Brendan Todd in the 8K range for me.
Yeah, and that 8.5 strokes he lost like around the greens and with the putter. Like he's generally pretty, like he's not great around the greens. He's not great with the putter, but he's generally much better. Like that's just such an outlier.
It's been a good long run of putting. One of the reasons I liked him last week was because of that putting run. See, and I talked about it a week ago from today.
Yeah, I had 150-1 ticket on him, and I texted you guys Friday night thinking that that was in play.
You were stiffing yourself on Friday night.
Yes, I certainly was. Well, I knew that. I kind of knew that one wasn't coming in, but it was fun to look at 151. So I will say this. I'm definitely back in on Cameron Davis as well. And to your point, Greg, about ownership, I do think he'll get marginalized a little bit because there are so many guys people are going to be interested from Patrick Rogers to Nick Hardy to Adam Long, Brendan Todd, Lucas Glover. Lonto probably won't get much ownership. CT Pan, like all those guys are going to get ownership. And because of how Cameron Davis crashed and burned over the last 2 days of you know the last week's tournament, at the Travelers, I think he could get marginalized quite a bit.
It's a really good range, The guy we didn't even talk about, JT Poston, who's at a flat $8,000. He's done it in a volatile way, but last 24 rounds, best player in the field, gaining 1.2 strokes to the field. Now he's done it, Greg, with a couple of missed cuts, but a runner-up finish, a ninth place finish, and a third place finish. That goes a long way in a field like this.
Yeah, it's definitely upside. I have my reservations about it because of the volatility, but maybe that's something to really adopt. But I mean, you look at at the Canadian Open, he lost 3 strokes approach. Then he gains 8 last week. You know, he loses putting at the RBC Canadian Open. Then he gains 5. So there's not a lot of trends, you know, and if like just to give you an analogy, for me to write a Twitter thread on JT Posted, it's very hard to find a trend that sticks, and it gives me a little worry. I like to see guys building in the right direction, and this seems like it's a pop-up scatter thunder showers, you know, and it could rain really hard and you could get rained out from golf for the whole day, or it could be really sunny. It's a hard thing to predict. So it's a high risk play, but it definitely has the upside.
Can we appreciate this Michael Kim profile for a second? Oh. Here's Michael Kim shattering the scoring record and gaining 19 strokes to the field in his win in 2018, in which he had missed 5 of his 6 cuts prior to that and quite a few before. And then immediately after, he basically just goes on like a 30 event streak in which he just misses the cut. Greg, maybe more than that. Maybe it was like 40 events. You and I were like tracking this at one point.
Yes.
We were texting like he's inside the cut line with 2 holes to go. And then he would cough it up and miss the cut. This is one of the most remarkable stat profiles out there.
It was one of the most remarkable stat profiles when it happened. Cause I was trying to figure out back in 2018, I was fairly new to this game of really, you know, looking at playing fantasy, looking into these kind of things and trying to predict winners and all that stuff. And he almost ruined me. It's like, wait a second. So you're trying to tell me that there's no way to predict who's going to play well? Because I could have retired right then and there. Because there was nothing. It's like this guy has done nothing to show that he's going to win, and he sets the scoring record. This is crazy. But as it turns out, I think that's what this event kind of offers. It allows a lot of players to play well, and if you get hot, you can make a ton of birdies. So fortunately, this doesn't happen every year. This is one that we're still talking about today.
Yes, the fact that we're talking about it 4 years later shows how rare it is. Also, Michael Kim playing well on the Korn Ferry Tour, by the way. He's piling up top for him. So good for him. $7,000 range, big boy range here. See, lots to discuss. Why don't you start us off, please?
Yeah, there's so many players that are going to catch people's attention, which is like, I want to talk about some of those players, but I also want to talk about some of the pivots. I mean, in that 7,800, 7,700 range, that is really jumping out at me, especially John Huh, Adam Schenck, Adam Svensson. Of those guys, I think I like Adam Svensson the best because I'm guessing he's going to carry less ownership than the other two. You know, what's interesting about Svensson too, is we always kind of talk about him and the putter, but if you look, and we're going to bring it up right now, he's gained with the putter, but let's see, five in a row, eight of his last 10. And he's gained ball striking four out of the last five. Like I tend to think in this field at this price, I think Svensson is one of the better values, like a top three value on this entire board. And I think he'll carry some ownership, but I don't know that it'll be as much as some of these other guys in the upper 7K range. Other guys that I like in the 7K range, Adam Schenk, I do like. His history here is great. I think he's going to carry a decent amount of ownership solely because his name has come up a lot over the last few weeks. He's classically been underpriced. Now he's fairly priced, but if you look at his history, I think people are going to pick up on that. He's going to be popular. Maybe some lower-end guys from an ownership standpoint I want to talk about. Let's start with Patton Kizzire. I mean, this is more of a hunch than anything. The recent history has been horrific with Patton Kizzire, but he does have great course history here, and I do think, like, the Patton Kizzire that we remember from like a year or two ago, I think he could succeed on a course like this in a scoring fest. So that's a guy, again, I'm looking at ownership leverage more than anything else. And I'm kind of picking up off Greg's point with respect to, hey, some of these guys are going to kind of jump out of nowhere on a course like this. So I think Kizzire is maybe a good leverage point. Another good leverage point is possibly Ryan Armour. The approach game is improving. He's certainly a good course fit. He has good course history, but I don't think he's going to pick up a ton of ownership. And then finally, a couple other leverage plays. I wonder where David Lipsky is going to pan out from an ownership standpoint, because I think he's going to rate out pretty well in models for good reason. He's been great on approach. DK scoring is fantastic. Not great with the putter. Doesn't bother me too much. The last guy, Austin Smotherman, at a flat 7K. Back to Smotherman. Yeah, I think he could. I think he could succeed here as well.
Missed the cut last week, but it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. Losing 3.7 strokes putting. That's the way you'd want to miss the cut if you are going to miss it. Patton Kizzire, look at this mustache, by the way.
Yeah.
How good is that?
Oh, man.
That would take me – there are not enough lifetimes for me to try to grow that mustache. That's so good.
It's a classic.
How do you not roster that guy? At least in one lineup.
I'm not even kidding. If you have a mustache like that, do you have to like put product in it? Like, do you have to maintain that?
Well, I don't think it gets to that point without maintenance, Rick. I mean, anything good takes a little care, a little effort. I imagine the mustache is the same thing, maybe unless your name's Eric Van Rooyen, who seems to just be a natural. But the other thing about Patton Kizzire, which makes him very rosterable, is he's 55th on tour from 50 to 125. So that kind of fits in the range. He's up there in the upper echelon in this field, I would say.
And Greg, just to further that point, that could explain his good course history here as well.
Right. You're a decent wedge player.
Like, so, by far his best bucket.
Yeah.
And then 100 to 125, which there's a little bit of overlap there, he's even better in. So that makes sense that if this is going to turn into a wedgy spot, the guy who can hit the wedge as well finds
success. Yeah. So look, I mean, a lot of this is guesswork, and this is one of those weeks where it gets a little uncomfortable, and you're not going to feel like you have a 6 for 6 on when you're sitting there on Wednesday. This is the one you kind of cringe at on Wednesday. But if you're taking a chance and you get a thread that you're going on, this could be one, and he definitely fits. Another guy that I like, you mentioned Ryan Armour, who's also incredibly accurate. So I think he checks that box as well. But the other guy that I wanted to go to was Ches Reavie, who is, again, at the very top when it comes to the driving accuracy. He's not necessarily a top guy in the 50 to 125 range. I'm trying to find him now, but I think he's been playing some pretty good golf. And where is he?
77th on tour.
Okay. So, you know, top 100, it's, again, I wouldn't go just on that alone, but his driving accuracy is extremely impressive. And I like what he's done recently. It was a great week last week, and he played well at the Schwab. So I think he's trending in the right direction.
The other guy near the top of that price range is John Hudd. Sia mentioned it, but here's the stat profile. Three straight top 25s gained across the board at the Travelers. The only place he's lost in any of these three starts is via the putter. Also very accurate off the tee. Let's for kicks, find out how he is in that. Oh, okay.
Okay, so, wow.
Look at these wedges, Greg.
Wow.
50 to 125, he's 49. 50 to 75, 66. 75 to 100, 10th. 125 to 150, 11th, Greg.
Wow.
I think he's my one and done play.
We're in.
Rick, is this last 24 rounds? What is this? Or season, the whole season? Season, okay,
full season.
Great.
Full season. Excellent. Yeah. That's great.
That's awesome. And now the results are following, which is great.
And his ownership just went up.
And his ownership will follow as well. I will not play him this week, but Taylor Pendrith is back, which we've seen. Pendrith fractured his rib at the Players, which is hard to imagine a golfer doing, but apparently it happens. And he's had like two setbacks. He was supposed to come back in Texas, couldn't do it. Was supposed to come back in Canada, couldn't do it. This is like the worst spot for him, Greg, but like, I'm excited. I want Pendrith to knock off the rust, play a little bit, and we'll talk about him when we get to Rocket Mortgage.
Yeah, I think Rocket Mortgage is perfect for him. Exactly. Right? As long as it's great. But look, we try to find these common threads week in and week out, and it's very easy to get sucked into, okay, approach is important this week. Who are the best approach players? We'll go with them. But there are always outliers. And so if you're feeling something like a Pendrith, probably not the week for it, as you said, but okay, he excels in a different area. There's usually one or two guys in the top 10 of a leaderboard who do it in a different way than everybody else. So just, I guess it's not really game theory, but when you're building your lineups, don't be afraid of having a couple guys you feel strong about that are a little different.
And just real quick, the only reason I didn't bring up Hank Lebioda at 7,300, who, by the way, has made five out of the last six cuts and finished eighth here in 2021, is because I want to save him for me, so I'm not telling anybody about him. He's absolutely a lock button. Whoops.
Good thing you forgot to mention him there. Perfect.
I got one other guy to ask about.
Sure.
What about Ryan Moore? Is there any reason to play him on course history alone?
Okay. I think so.
History here. So,
I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah. He won in 16. He was runner up last year. He's got a T18 2 years ago. We didn't play this in 2020. Probably should have mentioned that. A couple more top 10.
Nobody did.
But yeah, nobody. Right. 2020, this event was not played. Not like you and I, Greg, didn't play it. But right. Like, nobody played it.
Right. Exactly. Right.
So let's see what he's been up to as of late.
It's not bad, though, for Ryan Moore.
Yeah, it's not the worst.
It's okay. It's all right. I bet you'll see somebody in the top 10 this week whose record leading into it looks worse than Ryan Moore's.
Oh, yes. Also, I'm glad somebody brought this up in the chat. I think we skipped Steve Stricker, by the way.
Right.
So real quick, the guys won this event three times, which I don't even really care about. I like the fact that he has made nine of his last 11 PGA Tour cuts. And I also like the fact that I know it's Champions Tour, but he's got six straight top 11s, including charging up the leaderboard on Sunday at the US Senior Open Championship.
Right. He shot 65. You look at a guy who's more confident in the 7K range than Steve Stricker?
Nobody.
Are you worried at all about the one concern that I have with a Stricker? And I guess I have it a little bit with Ryan Moore, is the upside. Like, what is a great week for Steve Stricker making the cut?
I think he's like absolute upside is like T16.
I think it's, I agree kind of, but I mean, I think I was going to say T like 15 or like something in the top 15. I think in this field, he actually has that upside.
This is the only, like, it's a perfect combination of he's playing well and going to the spot for him.
Right. Right.
If we were going to Honda, where he actually played well last year, but if we were going to Honda, I'd be like not nearly as excited.
Mm-hmm. So what's the ownership going to be for him?
Not much.
Okay.
I don't think. I mean, like 7%. I mean, maybe that is a lot for Steve, for a guy who doesn't play full time on the PGA Tour, but like
there's so much.
He's playable.
Yeah, I think he's playable. There's a lot in the 7K range. There's also a lot of pivots. So if you play a chalky guy, an alleged chalky guy in the 7K range, there are so many places you can go to pivot. Another guy would be, an example would be Anirban Lahiri, who nobody's going to play because of his recent form.
Sia, are you loading up in the 7K? Like, I mean, how many guys are you talking? Four 7K guys? Three?
No, I think I'm going to grab a couple guys at the top and then probably live in the 7K range after that. But, you know, that might include an 8K guy too, like a CT Pan who's pretty low priced, you know, somebody like
that.
6Ks. Well, we got to move here somewhat quickly, but it starts with Snedeker, Garnett, Grayson Murray. Who is min priced? Is it like, is Michael Kim in this field? He's not in this field, is he? I don't think so. Oh boy, John Senden's in this field. Interesting. All right, Sia, kick us off in the six Ks.
I'll just give a couple names here. I see Ben Crane at 6,100. I'm being serious when I say I don't hate that. Patrick Flavin is at 6,300. Don't necessarily hate that. Jim Knoos at 6,300. I mean, there's guys down here that you could speculate on, but I'll just give a few names. Lee Hodges at 6,900. Joseph Bramlett at 6,800. A guy that can't putt, but the ball striking has actually been pretty great lately. I had one other guy to consider. I think Kramer Hickok was somebody I looked at. Outside of that, I'm not really living in this range too much. Kelly Kraft at 6,700 is interesting.
Kelly Kraft has gained like 15 strokes putting here in 12 rounds, and he's hitting it well. Okay, he's got to marry both of those. And then Vaughn Taylor's got decent course history around this place at $6,800. Greg, what did you find when you went through the sixes?
Vaughn Taylor was a guy that I circled. He does pretty well in the wedge category as well. 40th from 125 to 150. The other guy I circled was Chase Seifert, who is excellent in the wedge category and seems to be doing a little he was a little better. Some made cuts. So I like what he does with his approach play. That seems to be the area he excels in and has for a long time. So Chase Seifert was a guy that I circled as well. And maybe like a Cameron Percy could pop up this week. He was another guy that I tentatively circled. I put a question mark next to him.
Made the cut. Percy did at the RBC Canadian Open. Lost 4 strokes putting. Okay, pretty good. Team no putt character there. There was also a question in the chat about will this field be worse than Pebble? So the strength of field is not out yet, but probably, right?
I think so.
Because wasn't Spieth in that Pebble field?
Yes, and Cantlay too.
Yeah, Berger withdrew right before Pebble, I remember, but they had a couple of other bigger names. So I think this is definitely going to be lower strength of field than that.
Yeah. Mm. So,
all right. Narrative lineups time, and then I got to go on HQ. So, Sia, you have been doing our strokes. Okay, here we go. Couple of narrative lineups here, Sia.
Yeah, Harold Varner tracker being introduced to that. So that's pretty cool. So you want me to read this, Rick? It says it ain't pretty, but yes. Neither is this field. Here's my deer themed bargain lineup. Hayden Buckley, Dowie Van Deer Waltz, Caribou Weekly. That's pretty great. Fawn Taylor. That's also great.
That's really
good. Yeah, Antler Putnam. Adam Svensson, which apparently is a Frozen reference, which I have kids. I probably should have watched that by now.
Greg, your children are like of that age, aren't they?
They're boys though.
Oh, that's right. Frozen's like is that a girls' movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Disney. Princess. I think more so. It's more of a princess movie. My kids have watched it. I haven't watched it with them, but so I don't know.
PGA Tout. Is going okay. Oh, here we go. Perfect segue. Deer, Bambi, Disney movies.
Oh, wow. That was a good
segue. All right.
So, Peter Pan, got that one. Hercules Hodges.
Okay.
Camilo and Stitch, which is what? Lilo and Stitch.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
These are hard to say. Andrew in Wonderlandry. Finding Grillo. That's pretty good.
That's awesome.
And Wulan. Instead of what? Mulan, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's yeah. Okay. That's clever.
Okay. Hold on. We'll save John Markowski, the goat, for last. So the model maniac, Sia. Oh, these are good. Do you want to read them?
They're so good. Yeah. So he goes with, John Deere tractor, Tractor Rider, P. Lanto Griffin, Farmer Brown, Ernst Day's Work, Dirt McGirt, and a Hall of Famer here, Cattle Barn Lahiri. I just can't get enough of that one.
I don't get the Lanto Griffin one.
I don't get most of them, I'll be honest with you.
I don't get P. Lanto Griffin either. I'm gonna have to ask him. Okay. I know.
I get Tractor Rider, that makes sense. I get Farmer Brown and Ernst Day's Work, Dirt McGurk, obviously. McGurk, and Cattle Barn Lahiri. It's a stretch, but it's funny. It's really funny.
It's epic. I like that.
Okay, so John Markowski takes these and he like turns them into phrases or sayings. So he's going with the fact that this is a pretty bad field, and he's roasting this field. So the first player is Aaron. Stop playing so badly. Sean O'Hare Airport is calling your name. Wow. Oh my. Get your flight out of here. Boo Weekly. How about Boo Strongly?
Wow.
Yeah, these are tough, John. Sean, I prefer your sister, Gwen Stefani. Kelly, not so good at your craft. And JT, you ain't posted a score like last week.
What?
These are all strong. All four of these were great. There were more, by the way, but we didn't have I figured four was good for this one.
It's just phenomenal. That's pretty good. I mean, John's is it's the best again.
It's
I think everybody. I'm not good at this stuff. So like anybody who, it's also like when people draw, like I can't draw a stick figure. So when I can see somebody with any ounce of drawing ability, I'm always very impressed, because that is not the side of the brain that works for me.
That's surprising, given you run a database website.
I don't have like the creatives. If it's not a one or a zero, it's not for me. All right. Remember, the fan vote for the one and done is live right now. It's in the description. Get your vote in. We're going to do that Tuesday morning. But for now, big thanks to producer Troy. Does all the hard work behind the scenes. Sia Najad, available at Sia Najad. That's Greg Ducharme. You can find him at The Real GFD. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.